Oh my, that's all he ever asks us to do, just surrender ourselves to him. Let him have preeminence in our lives. And what he can do is just astounding. He can take that flesh body with all those mistakes and all of that problems and all you have, he can make you into the very light of the world. He can create himself in you in such a way that people look at you and they mistake you for Jesus Christ himself. That's what we're called for, friends. That's our inheritance. That's what the bride of this day is supposed to be doing. When I look at that and I look at my own self and I can get discouraged because I see what I'm actually producing, I say, very few people have ever accused me of being Jesus Christ. But I want Satan to know something. It's coming. It's coming. Why? How do you know? Because this promises that that's what's coming. I'm not trying to walk around and make people think I'm Jesus Christ, but I do want them to see his nature and his love and his life in me. Because without that, I'm not going into rapture. You're not going into rapture if you're not living this word, friends. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let's just pray one more time here. Lord Jesus, we're so grateful you would come this morning and inhabit our praises as you promised to do. Lord Jesus, you've given me something that's on my heart, just burning to speak it. I just ask you to help me just to completely get surrendered to you, that your spirit would come and say what you once said, Lord. And every heart in here, Lord Jesus, would so get out of the way that you could, they could hear you and recognize that you're talking to them as an individual and that you want more from them and that we're willing to give it to you, Lord. We ask that when we go from here, we are stronger than we are now in faith, that we have been edified by being here, and Lord, just to gather with believers and recognize a part of this body that you have in Dixon, Tennessee. We ask this in your name, Lord Jesus. Amen. Amen. If you want to read from Matthew, the 11th chapter, we're going to read one verse there and be seated. Matthew 11. Let me get this going here. All right, here we go. Matthew 11 and verse 12. And from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force. You'd be seated. Today I want to speak on the thought, this violent bride. This violent bride. And right away, when you think of violence, you don't think Christianity and violence in the same sentence, except when violence has been done against Christian. But here Jesus is saying, this people who take this kingdom of heaven, you want to be part of the kingdom of heaven, you must take it by force. Suffereth violence means to use force, apply force. That violent, take it by force, that means a strong or forceful person. We must be strong and forceful person. And then to take by force means to seize, to carry off, to claim for oneself eagerly, to snatch out or away. So Jesus is saying, if you want to be part of the kingdom of heaven, you need to be a forceful person who snatches a hold of that and takes it for yourself and holds on to it. That's what he's looking for. Everything else is just playing church. You're out for a picnic. Luke 16, he says it this way, the law and the prophets were until John, since then the time of the kingdom of heaven is preached. And every man presseth into it. And so what's he saying here? Preach means the power and demonstration of the word. It's not just a doctrine you heard. Well, I'm going to believe that doctrine. I want that doctrine. No, sir. Preaching is the power and demonstration. You see the word happening. You see it around you. You see it working. And you say, that's what I want. I see the reality of the word happening. It's not just a doctrine in my head, but I see this word being played out in people's lives. And I want part of that. And I'm going to press myself until I have that same thing in me. It's not good enough for me to see it in my pastor, my husband, my wife, my kids, my family, my mom and dad, whoever. I have to see that in me, and I'm willing to press on, and I'm going to be violently taking a hold of that promise and holding on to it no matter what. That's what God is looking for in this age. That's what he's looking for every age, and this age is no different. In fact, friends, that's exactly what Satan has against us in this age. It's so easy. It's so soft. You don't have to be persecuted yet very much. You know, if we're being persecuted and we walk out the door, there's people out there throwing rocks at us, I guarantee you our prayers will be a little bit more sincere. If you couldn't hardly get to church because they're going to try to arrest you and you had to fight to get here, it'd make a little bit more difference in the service. We won't just be sitting there, well, I hope Brother Phil preaches something that makes me happy. Oh, no, you wouldn't. You'd be pulling on the gift right now. I couldn't hardly keep my shirt on. Not literally, but you know what I mean? Because why? Because there's something that you hold on, and persecution always makes the church stronger. That's why Satan has made it so easy in this age to make it easy to be a message believer, to make it easy to be a Christian. Why? Because softness makes us soft. And if you want to hold on, you want to go in the rapture, you're going to fight for it violently. Not talking about physically violent, not at all. Look, friends, God is a supernatural God. Your relationship with him has to be supernatural. He speaks to you. You hear him. You speak back. You have a conversation. You know this God is a reality supernaturally. So many people, they follow the rules, and they believe the message, and they just have this lukewarm message believing life, and that's not putting you in a rapture. There's nothing violent about that. You have to fight through the clouds and the darkness to get to him sometime. And sometimes you pray and you pray, he seems to turn a deaf ear, and you say, I'm praying anyways, because I know you might seem like you're not listening, but you hear every word I say. Why? Because violently you hold on to that promise. He said, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. I have got you in the palm of my hand. And even though it don't feel like a lot of times, I still got you. That's what he's looking for. That attitude. Look, Paul said, though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. This is not a physical violence. This is not me physically violent, being violent with a person. It's not me physically withstanding. You say, Brother Caleb, you got this problem. No, that's not what it at all. Brother says, it's in the spirit realm. It's a supernatural place where we fight demons. We fight oppressing spirits. You fought them just to come to church this morning. You fought them just to keep in the right atmosphere, the right attitude. And it's a violent battle because those demons hate you. And they're doing all they can to destroy you. And if you sit back and just say, well, I'm just going to be a good Christian, you're already destroyed. Jude says this, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. What does that mean to earnestly contend? It means to fight strenuously. It means to strive with extreme intensity. This is a war we're in. This is a battle. You know it if you've been around at all. You can see the battles. You can see how you're oppressed. You can see how Satan comes against you. And you can see what he does to make you, to get your mind off on something else. Gives you so much entertainment, so much family, so much fun things to do, so much all this other stuff, and so many troubles and trials to keep us from praying, to keep us from pressing in, to keep us from holding tight onto that promise. And he gives every reason for you to start doubting. And that's all he has to do. Well, if, oh, how many times, oh, Brother Phil, I believe what you said, and if God does this, and if he does that, what do you mean if? There's no if in God's promise. The only if is, do you believe it? If you hold fast, then you're a believer. If you are the only if, it's not God. Well, what if I confess that I'm healed and I die? Well, you're gonna die then. Goodness sakes, what are you worried about? You got to go sometime. There's no if in God's promise. You listen to what he has to say and you believe it. You fight strenuously. In the spirit realm. It's in the spirit realm. It's in your mind. It's not, well, I'm going to try to overcome this now, Phil. That's striving with flesh and blood, your own flesh and blood. Well, I got to quit doing this habit. I got to quit doing this. And I got this addiction, that out of stuff. And so I'm going to just really try really hard. You've already defeated. You're fighting the wrong battle. You can't. You're struggling with flesh and blood. This flesh and blood cannot defeat itself. Oh, hallelujah. You can't use your own strength to defeat yourself. It's impossible. You got God's strength. He comes along. He said, do you take me at my word? I say, yes, I do. He said, then stand still and see the power of God in your life. Take your hands off the steering wheel. Let me drive. But you got to stay in the car. That's the scary part. Just slide over to the passenger seat and say, I'm just going to kick back. I'm not even going to wear my seatbelt because I know you got the wheel. Yeah. There's where it's scary. Because you know what we try to do? My mom, whenever she'd drive in the front seat and while I was learning to drive, she'd always hit that floor. Oh, you know, she'd squeal and you'd jump. You'd say, what? There's a car. It's a half a mile ahead of us. But he slowed down. scare you? You know what I'm talking about. You know, you push your foot through the floor trying to break and you don't have the break. That's what we do with God. God, oh my goodness, what's going on? He said, I got this. Sometimes I don't feel like he's got it because he allows us to get really close, and sometimes he allows us to wreck. Sometimes he allows us to go down in defeat. I'm telling you what the prophet said. I'm not making this up. He said he allows you to go down in defeat to see what you're going to do. This is how he trains us. My, I'm getting off my subject. Let me read a quote here. What is this fight? He said, Abraham staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong, giving praise to God. Now, if we are in Christ, we are Abraham's seed and heirs with him according to the promise. What is an heir? It's someone who has an inheritance. We have the same inheritance as Jesus Christ because we're his brothers. Can you imagine that? That just blows my mind. Then how could a true Abraham seed see the promise of God here and then complain about having a tummy ache or your hand ain't straightened out right when God made the promise? So now are you a fighter? Well, I've had this problem for years, and I've had this disease, and I've been sick, and all this, and I'm suffering, and this isn't going right, and that's not going right. Abraham's seed. If you wait 50 years, what difference does it make? If you wait 50 years, what difference does it make? Abraham was able to achieve the title of father of nations, had the child because he believed and was perseverant with his faith. Why? Why could he be perseverant? God had promised it. That's the whole key, friends. You cannot just go on your own thought, on your own desire. Well, this is what I want, God. I'm holding on to this promise. You have to have him reveal it to you, what his will is. I'm not going to read this quote, but he said, you got to find God's will first. You pray about what is your will in this situation. What Nate back there was talking about a little bit ago, so many people, they pray to desire. Well, I want this side, so I believe it. Amen. No, you find out what God's will is, and then you can hold on to it. Abraham could have said, God, I want a child through Sarah, so I'm just going to believe it. It would have never happened. Why did he believe it? Because God had already told him what was going to happen. It's really that simple. When God tells you what he wants to do, all he wants you to do is believe it's going to happen. And it's so hard for us to do that. It's hard to do that. Why? Because Satan has all this evidence against us. How can the seed of Abraham, the royal seed of Abraham, the church of the living God, look upon a promise and then don't believe it? How can we do it? God's eternal word, I am the vine, you are the branches. If you abide in me and my word in you, ask what you will and it'll be done for you. Oh, what promises he gives us. We could quote them, but you can only be perseverant when you got a hold of the word. That's why we pray, friends. That's why we pray, is to find God's will in a situation. And then when you got it, Brother Branham said, it's like if I'm hungry and I want a loaf of bread and someone gives me the price of the loaf of bread, I can be just as happy with that price as with the bread itself. Why? Because I already had the purchase power for that bread. And when God gives you the promise for something you need in his life, you can be just as happy as if you don't, even if you don't see it yet, because you know that you had the purchase power, which is the faith to believe that it's yours. Then can you hold on to that promise? And let him bring it to pass according to his will. Moses knew. He learned from his mom that he was a deliverer. Moses knew he was supposed to take those children of Israel out of Egypt. And what did he do? He got ahead of God's plan. He decided he's going to do it in his own strength. He fought with flesh and blood. And what did he do? He killed one Egyptian. So even though you have God's perfect will, sometimes you got to sit still and let him work it out. You go and try and get in and on yourself, and you're going to find yourself in trouble like Balaam or whoever else. Well, I want to do this, and God says, fine, go ahead, but this is a permissive will, and permissive will always brings death, always. You find the will of God, then you can be perseverant, but if you don't have it, you can't. You get past the unbelief. It's settled in your heart. Because you know God told you. You know the voice of God. You recognize it. Hang on a second. Okay, here we go. Brother Branham says this, same with the first prophet for many years because a mom got desperate about that she got no children. She was past the age of bearing, only 67 years old, probably 67 years old. She prayed with desperation. She must have the child. What was it? God had spoke to her, no doubt. You can't be desperate till God speaks to you. You can't even be violent until God speaks to you. You can't hold on to a promise of God until God gives it to you. The faith, the revelation, which is that faith, that revelation has prevailing power. The gates of hell cannot prevail against the revelation. You can take a scripture, and I can take a quote and say, I claim this quote as mine. I claim this scripture, and the gates of hell can trample me underfoot. But when it's revealed to me, when it has become my possession, this is my inheritance, there's nothing Satan can do to take that from me. Why? Because it has been revealed, and this is mine. God spoke to me, and I hold on in desperation. You can't stop it. Brother Brandon says, faith has no hindrance. He said, well, I hold on, I have all kinds of hindrance. He said, you have hindrance. Faith doesn't. Because amidst that storm, God gives you a promise, and you're sick, and you want to be well, but you seem to be getting sicker and sicker, and there's a storm around you, and there's all this stuff, and you're feeling bad, and yet something inside tells you, yeah, but God already promised me that I'm going to be well, and all you do is you focus on that, and you just rest on that promise, and the storms are swirling around you. This goes for anything you have need of, friend. You got problems in your family, in your life, in your job, whatever it is, in your church. You just got to find God's will, and you stand on that promise. And you hold on, and while the storms around you and those oppressing spirits and those demons are throwing thought after thought in your mind, and you focus on one thing, and that is Jesus Christ already told me the end of this. He already told me how it's going to work out. Oh, and then, friends, you start taunting and you start tormenting those spirits that are tormenting you. I'm so sick and tired of being tormented by devils when it's my job to torment them. Oh, yeah. Start talking back to those lying devils. Oh, my goodness. And I'm not talking about arguing. Don't fuss with them. Don't argue with them. But why don't you just remind them sometime where they're going? Why don't you remind them of their future home? They don't like to hear it, I promise you. I'm going to say it again. If I did, I'm sorry for repeating myself. But a couple weeks ago, I was just going to these, I had these oppressing spirits. I'm trying to pray and I'm not getting through, and these demons were saying this. And the thought came to me and said, you must be miserable. Here you listen to Satan's lie, Lucifer's lie, how many years ago, that he's going to promise you this great, mighty whatever. What did he say to you to get you to turn against Michael? And you believe Lucifer. And now thousands of years later, and you know that you have a very short time. Praise the Lord. They have a short time. And I'm thinking, you know what? And here you are oppressing me, just this old man all by himself. And you must be the second-rate demons, because this is all you get to do. You don't get to get some important person. You got to torment me. You must be one of those demons, the rest of the demons bully around down in hell. And pretty soon you're going to be totally annihilated. I'm going to live forever. And look what you got from it. Look what Satan's promise got you. And you had all these years and all this time to be a tormentor, but pretty soon your time is up. Brother and sister, let me tell you what, you people, those people who listen to Satan's lie and say, well, he can make me happier than Jesus Christ, you have a very short time. You better enjoy it. You better enjoy it, because you find out Satan promised you the world and he gives you hell. God promised you heaven and he gives it to you. Man, torment those demons. Don't always sit there and just be a whooping bag for they beat on you. Beat them back, friends. You have the ability to do that. Those demons should be terrified of you. They should be scared. Every time you hit your knees, they start trembling. So why do they keep us from praying? Because they hate being afraid of us. That's why. You can't be desperate till God speaks to you. Oh, church, rise and shake yourself. Pinch your conscience. Wake yourself up in this hour. We must be desperate or perish. You have to be desperate or you're going to perish, friends, and you can't be desperate on your own. This isn't something you work up in your emotion. I'm not talking about some emotional sincerity. Well, I'm just going to go, oh, God, I'm going to work this. No, you just stop. You just stop. That's Cain worship, friends. You pray to God and you say, God, what is your will in my life? And you hold on until he reveals it to you. And then you take that and you walk forward in that as he leads you. It's just too simple. That's why so many people miss it, because it's too simple to be a Christian. Hardest thing in the world, but it's so simple. All you God wants you to do is just give yourself away. My. The revelation is what brings the desperation. It produces the ability to violently hold on. If God tells you, Satan can't talk you out of it. Look, Satan wants to get you to give up. He wants you to believe him. That's all it is. That's all he has. All he can do is talk you into believing him. That's why you come to church. That's why you listen to the preaching. That's why you read the Bible. So God will say, why don't you believe what I'm telling you? And besides that, Satan's constantly telling you reasons why you should believe him instead. That's the whole battle. Brother Branham says this. His attack is what? Disbelieve God's word. That's his attack. Then you can see the greatest battle ever fought. There's only two forces, Satan and God. What's Satan's weapon against you? To try to get you to disbelieve your weapon. Then he disarms you. All he wants you to do is disbelieve your weapon. Your weapon is what? It's the revealed word. It's the sword of the word. And that produces a shield of faith. And then you attack. And when he throws those darts of doubt against you, you put that shield up and say, this is what God said. And he said, also, I can cut your head off. And you cut his head off. That's what it means to be violent, friends. That's all God has ever asked for us. If he can get you to disbelieve your weapon is equivalent, he gets you to disbelieve your weapon is strong enough, he's disarmed you. When you think, well, I know God promises, but I got to try in my own self. Well, I'm going to try to do this. You're disbelieving your weapon. When you put your own flesh and blood into the battle, you're disbelieving your weapon and you're disarmed. Oh my, he said, if you're thinking about salvation, this is it. The only way you can disbelieve it, you have to put your faith on a counterfeit lie of the devil by reason instead of believing God's word. You have to put your confidence in a counterfeit lie, in a counterfeit gospel. You have to believe Satan's gospel. If you don't, friends, the rapture is guaranteed. Oh, friends, listen to this. We all believe we're going in a rapture. I hope we do. And yet we get tore up because someone says something to us. We get tore up because I got sick. My job is a problem. My boss doesn't like me. My kids are doing something else. We're believing for the greatest single miracle that I can think of a group of people has ever experienced. That is, have this body changed without dying. It's happened before, but not to a group of people. We've been promised for years. And we're saying, I'm getting ready for a rapture. I'm going in a rapture. I'm going in a rapture. What did you say to me, wife? Seriously? Well, I can't believe Brother Paul didn't shake my hand. I mean, we use that all the time, but this stuff, it's that silly, friends, what we get tore up about. He said, but it was legitimate. They really did something bad to me. Okay. Now what? What do you do about it? And we quit. Quitting doesn't mean just leaving church, friends. You can sit in this pew and totally quit on God. You just accept some compromise, say, well, I'm going to go to church. I'm going to be a believer, but I'm not pressing on. I'm not holding on to these promises. I can be a good message believer. I don't have to believe everything Brother Jerry says and Brother Phil. And I can just go ahead and do what I want to do. And I can have my own beliefs. And I can hold this grudge against this person. And I can hold this grudge against my boss. And I can be bitter. And I don't have to forgive that person. And I don't have to love that person because they're so unlovable. And sit there with your compromised, lukewarm spirit and go into the tribulation period. You need to be terrified. If you're sitting in here with that sort of attitude, you need to be terrified because judgment is next. Settle for a lukewarm relationship because it's too hard. The battle is too hard. Brother Phil, I've been pressing. I've been fighting this battle for 40 years. I'm just tired. I just don't know. I don't see anything happening. I don't see anything changing. You don't see anything changing. What are you looking at? Oh, my goodness. Take yourself a year ago, beginning of 2022, and look where you're at now. My, that gets me happy. Because I see what God has done in my life. I see what he's done in your life. I see how we've gone farther in the word. I see how much harder the battle has got. And I look at 2023 and said, oh man, 2023 is going to be the worst year yet. And it is. And you know what else it's going to be? It's going to be the best year. Because you and I are going to see more power of God in our lives than we've ever seen before. If we don't, then we are completely deceived and we're off on the wrong thing. But if we are who we say we are, who the bride says, who the word says we are, then we're going to see a more power of God than ever. And I would be surprised if we're here by 2024. I'll just be honest. And if we are, you know what? I'll be up here saying the same thing. You remember where you started 2023 and look where you're at now. You know why? Because you violently held on. You violently persecuted demons. You violently stood there and pressed into the kingdom of God. You said nothing, no oppressing spirit, no self, nothing else is going to keep me out. I've gone through too much. All right, moving right along. Jacob, you all know Jacob. Good read the scripture. You know what? Let's just talk about Jacob. I'm going to bring Jacob up to 2023. 2023, a modern version of Jacob. Jacob was raised in a message home. He believed the prophet, his grandpa, his dad. Absolutely. He was a message believer. He went to a message church. He listened to the prophet all the time. And his mom and dad taught him, and his preacher taught him what it was to be a message believer. He had been taught, he had an intellectual concept of it. But Jacob was Jacob. You know what Jacob was? He was a liar, a thief, a cheat, a deceiver, and a coward. So he got older and it's time for him to leave home. Hey, it's time to get out there, find yourself a wife, get on with your life. So he did. And on the way to finding this wife, he stopped. He went to a message believers camp, a youth camp, right? He did. Went to youth camp. He had a great experience with God at that youth camp. And he was laying there one night. His head was on a rock for a pillow. He had a dream or a vision, whatever it was. He saw the angels coming up and going down. He said, this is the house of God. He had an incredible, amazing, powerful experience with God. And you can never tell Jacob God did not exist because he didn't believe it now because his mom and dad told him, but because he had experienced God for himself. But he was still Jacob. You can have all kinds of experiences with God and still be Jacob. That doesn't change it. So he went off and he got married and he went to a message church. He went to his own kind of people. He was still a message believer and he was married. He had gotten rich and he had got a great reputation. Maybe he was a deacon in the church, whatever. And he was like, oh, brother Jacob, look at you, a message believer. You're raised from here. Your dad was a prophet. Your granddad was a prophet. And you're a mighty man. He was. And everyone thought the world of Jacob. Until it come on his heart, said, you need to go back home. It's time to go. And on the way, the reality of where he was, come on, he said, judgment is coming in the form of his brother. His brother's coming with an army to kill me. And here it is in 2023, and he's been going to a message church for years, but one day he wakes up, he realizes, you know what, that rapture could happen anytime. And I know down in my heart, up in my mind, oh yeah, I'm a believer, down in my heart, I know that I'm still Jacob. I know there's something wrong. Why? Because I'm terrified of judgment. Friends, if you're terrified of the rapture, you need to quit being a Jacob. You need to find something. You need to violently hold on to get rid of that fear. You need to be changed. You said, well, as the rapture goes, I'm going to be in the tribulation period. Friends, if that's where you're at, you need to get a hold of God. You need to do something because you're still Jacob. And he got to that point where he knew next day was the last day because he's going to meet up with Esau tomorrow. And brother and sister, I don't know if you're looking around and seeing the shape of this world, but you could wake up tomorrow morning and recognize that you are in the tribulation period and you call for your dad and he's not there. You call for mom and she's not there. You call brother Jerry and he don't answer. You call brother Phil and he don't answer. And you get to the church as fast as you can and there's someone else and you're looking at each other and you got this scary look in your eyes and say, what happened? They're all gone and you know what happened and that could happen tomorrow morning. Let me just tell you something. There is going to be vast numbers of message believers live that out. They're going to live it out. They're going to wake up one day and recognize that judgment has come and they weren't ready. And so many of them is because some lying preacher told them they were because they believed the message. So Jacob gets to desperation. God speaks to him. He crosses that brook all by. He says, listen, I got to do this by myself. My family, it's not about my family. It's not about my church. It's my pastor. It's me, an individual. He crossed that brook, which is a type of death to self. He gets over there. He says, I got to have something from God because I'm facing judgment tomorrow. And that angel came and he starts wrestling. And it looks like this. He comes to church that morning. He says, I got to have something from God. He gets to church and the supernatural happens. He's there and he's listening to the preaching. He knows the Spirit is there and is speaking to him. And he's wrestling with that angel. He's wrestling with that. And then it's time for the church to end, the service to be over. And the angel says, hey, let go of me. I got to go. It's time for me to go. And Jacob says, oh, no, you're not. This service ain't over until I get what I need. I'm holding on. You all can close up, go home. I ain't leaving because I've got to have something. I'm tired of being Jacob. I'm tired of being a coward. I'm tired of knowing this about myself. I got to be changed. And you can go ahead and shut the church down, but you'll find me right here at the altar when you come back until I find something from God. Why? Because God spoke to him. He said, you got to have something because judgment comes tomorrow. That angel himself tried to discourage him. He said, let me go. The service, we had a good service. And how many times do you come to church? We have a good service. You enjoy the singing. You enjoy the preaching. And you walk out of here still Jacob. You say, well, I'm going to really try, Brother Phil. Don't try to work it up. Listen for God speaking to you. When you hear the voice of God, that still small voice, I know I might be shouting and screaming. That's not it. It's you hear the voice of God speaking through the ministry. It said, I'm talking to you. I'm talking to you. I'm talking to you. This is for you. And it's so small, sometimes he has to repeat it because we don't even pick up on it. Because so gentle, so sweet. It's just a little whisper. But that little whisper will defeat every devil out of hell. That little whisper will withstand the gates of hell. That's all it takes. You recognize that still small voice and you hold on to that and nothing can move you. Amen. Jacob got what he wanted, even though the Holy Spirit, that angel, tried to discourage him. Why don't you just go home? Oh my. Oh. Why don't you just give up? Why don't you just settle? You've been a message believer for years. Why stir the boat? Why cause problems? Why don't you just accept where you're at? You know God dealt with you. You know God has dealt with you. You know that God is real. You believe the message. Why don't you just relax? You've been here. You did your duty. You went to church. Something inside Jacob said, not this time. I've done that too many times. Too many times. Somewhere out there, judgment waits, friend. And when that angel, he recognized, okay, he's not letting go this time. This isn't going to be just another church service. He said, what's your name? He said, I'm Jacob. He said, no, you're not. He said, you're Israel. Amen. You're a prince with God. You have prevailed. You have held on to the promise. You have violently held on and pressed yourself into the kingdom of God. He walked different. He walked out the next day. Here come Esau with his 400-man army, and Jacob walked right up in front of him and said, hey, brother. He was no longer a coward. He was a prince with God. Every one of you who's born again, you're a prince or princess with God. You have prevailed. You have held to this promise. You say, well, Brother Phil, I got desperate 20 years ago. I know what you're talking about. No, desperation is a state of being. It's a lifestyle. You don't say, well, I was desperate before. I'm good to go. No, friends, you have to constantly be desperate. You're constantly hearing the voice of God. It's constantly telling what's next for you. And you're pressing in, and you're pressing in because you look at yourself. Like I said at the beginning, we're supposed to be Christ in this day. And I look at myself a lot of times. I don't see much Christ. Sometimes I do. But I need to see more. And that desire, that love for more. You know, when Christ reveals himself to you, all you want is more. If you fall in love with someone, you don't say, okay, I'll say, well, I love Lisa, so I'm good. I don't need to see her for 6 months. That's not love. Plus, she'd probably scalp him. When you love someone, you just want more of them. You want to be with them more. That's what the love of God does. And when you see people come into church and just sit there just lukewarm and, yeah, I'm in church and everything's fine. Where's the love of God in that? It ain't there. Listen to this. Jacob cried like never before. Desperately he called until he got a hold of God. When he did, he wrestled not for 15 minutes. He wrestled to keep it in his soul all night long. And still he knew he didn't have the blessing. Oh, you can come to church and have a wonderful time and worship and shout and praise and preach or whatever. And still that doesn't mean you're not Jacob. He was able to hold on until the blessing come. He wrestled desperately until the blessing come, until God came on the scene. And then in his spirit, I'll not let you go. When the Spirit came, then he said, I will not let you go. He said, when he began to feel the blessing come down on him, a lot of people say, glory to God, I got it now. There you're deceived. Oh my. Aren't you glad we had a prophet come in our day to tell us these things? Because if he hadn't told us this, anytime we felt the Spirit of God, we think, well, we're good to go. That ain't it. I'm not trying to embarrass anybody. I got a call on David. Years ago, David would have come to this church. He lived like a sinner, but he'd come and he'd worship, he'd praise, he'd shout, he'd dance. Y'all remember that. A lot of people had problems with it. Then he became Israel. Now he shouts and he dances and he worships, and it means something. It's real. Because that spirit, he has that gift to do that. It's a gift to worship. And it can be anointed whether you're a sinner or not. It's a great example. Now it's real. How many preachers get in the pulpit and they have a gift to preach and they get anointed and they preach? And people say, oh, he's anointed to preach. He said a lot of good things, and they're nothing but devils. Deceiving people. It's all over the message, friends. Listen for the voice of God. He said, oh, I feel so good, Brother Branham. I went down there and prayed. Shivers run over me. That might have been God. I saw a great light before me. That might have been God. But that ain't what I'm talking about. Satan can hand out supernatural gifts and all flavors and whatever he wants all day long and deceive all kinds of people. You can see that kind of stuff out on these YouTube videos of people worshiping in their churches dressed like devils. Holy Spirit literally anointing them. They can perform miracles. They're still Jacob's. The rain falls on the just and the unjust. The rain is actually sent for the wheat, but the rain falls on the weeds the same as it does the wheat. The wheat is just as happy about the rain as the wheat. Of course it is, because it makes them believe that they're good. The very Holy Spirit can fall upon an unbeliever and make him act just exactly the same way a believer acts. Act exactly the same way, but by their fruits they're known. Friends, just because you come to church and feel the Holy Spirit does not mean that you're not Jacob. You got to find out for yourself, because if you're still walking in fear, if you're still walking in your deception and you're walking in your natural lust and everything, and there's something that's not anchored, friends, then you need to get a hold of God. And the way you do it is not the way you've been going about it so far. Well, I've been trying for years, Brother Phil. Well, stop trying. If you're here at this point in your life, and I can look at everyone here and know you, and you know you're not born again, then the way you're going about it is wrong. Think about it. Quit doing what you're doing. It ain't working. Friends, what does it take? If I take a hammer and hit my thumb and say, I'm going to try to make my thumb quit hurting, I hit it again. Man, it still hurts. Hit it again. It still hurts. Stop hurting your thumb. Well, I've been seeking God. I've been doing this. Well, friends, find out what you're doing wrong. We don't have time. We don't have time. Say, well, I'm satisfied in my religion. You know what? If you're satisfied in your religion, friends, then God bless you. I'm not even talking to you this morning. Because everyone's not bright.
It's bitter. It's bitter to say that, but everybody is not bride. And if you're finding your religion, what your relationship with God, then you go on in that. But if there's something inside of you, and you know you're born again, but there's something, just a thirst, there's such a desire, as a deep calleth to the deep, that the voice is like water spouts, there's something inside that says, got to be more God. There's got to be more for him. I got to have something to satisfy this, because I can't even hunger for this without there be something to satisfy it, because you cannot hunger for something that there's not something out there to satisfy. It's impossible. And if there's still a thirst for God in you, then you are so blessed, and you need, there's more God for you to have. Find out how to get it. How do you go about that? You listen for the voice of God. He tells you how. He tells you. Jacob stayed there until something happened, made him walk different, made him a different person, because he stayed until that happened. Until he received who he was. He had heard from parents who he was. He had heard from the preacher who he was. But he had to hear from God who he was. And when God did it, he changed him. He became a different person. A different person. That's what we have to be. Let's go to one more person here. The Syrophoenician woman. She came to Jesus because her daughter was sick. She needed to be healed. She had heard, since faith cometh by hearing, hearing the word of God. She has perseverance. She cried right through every barrier. So she had come to Jesus. She was a Gentile. She didn't even have a right. All these others were Jews. But she said, I have heard about this man. I know he can heal my daughter. I've got to get to him. And so she forced herself through all the discouragement and everything else to get to Jesus. She arrives at Jesus. She thought, it's all over now. That's the way some people think when they get the Holy Ghost. It's all over. It's just beginning. That's when you need to be perseverant, when you arrive.
Oh, my.
Friends, when you get into the service and the Holy Spirit is here and he's dealing with you, that's when you need to be perseverant. Oh, I'm in the presence of the Holy Spirit. It's all good to go. Oh, no, it's not, Jacob. No, it's not. That's when you got to hold on. Because just like the angel with Jacob, Jesus tried to discourage her. My. I can't hardly keep myself in. How many times have I come to church with an expectation? I know God's going to speak to me. I know God's going to speak to me. I sit there and the preaching is going on and that person being blessed and that person being blessed. And the preaching is over and the Holy Spirit has fallen and everyone is worshiping and I'm sitting there just as dead as a rock. Say, what's wrong? What did I do? Did I grieve the Holy Spirit? How come I'm not getting anything? I had such expectations. I had such expectation. I prayed. I was up all night praying all the during the night, and I wake up and I come to church and I'm just expect God, you gotta speak to me. He sits there and ignores me. You see someone next to you, I'll be blunt. You know they're living a lukewarm life. And yet they're being blessed by the Holy Spirit. You think, God, what did I do wrong? He turns a deaf ear. He just walks away. You ever been there? So discouraging. What's he doing? He's proven who you are. Because you know what a lukewarm believer does? Fine. Well, if that's the way you're going to treat me, I'll just go home and watch a movie. Forget it then. But that woman didn't forget it. He said, son of David. He wasn't son of David to her, so he ignored her. She said, Lord, help me. He turned and said, why should I help you? You're a lukewarm message believer. Laodicean. You ain't prayed in 2 weeks, but now something bad happens. You want me to turn and help you now? Why would I help you? I got all these other people who've been praying, have a relationship with them, but you want to show up and just have me to, oh, now you got a problem. Now you want me to help you. You ever been there? Satan's jumping up and down on you. He ain't going to help you. You didn't deserve it. Deserve it? When have you ever deserved God to do something good for you? So what does she do? She proved who she was. She said, true, I am. I'm backslid. I'm lukewarm. The only reason I'm here is because life is falling apart. Help me. Be merciful. She didn't get discouraged. She was willing to humble herself, admit the word was true, admit who she was. She worshiped. She said, Lord, help me. Jesus said, but you know it's not meat to take the children's bread and cast it to dogs. It wouldn't have been, he said, if that would have been a modern Pentecostal, let me change that. If that had been a modern message believer, she'd have turned a little nose up, said, I'll never go to a meeting like that again. They don't have the hope that she had. It hadn't been anchored. She wasn't a hotbed plant, had to be babied. She wasn't a modern hybrid, so-called believer of the crop today. Preacher says something you don't like and people get up and walk away, so I'm not going to that church anymore. See, this is the way Jesus treats his bride. This is the way he treats believers. And it's against our nature. Our old nature don't like this. We want to be babied and petted and all kinds of stuff. But that's not the way he does it. Let me go one more situation here. Talk about how you desperately, violently hold on. Let's go to Joshua and the children of Israel. Let me read this quote first, then we'll get there. To restore means to bring back or restore. A claim can be enforced to its rightful owner. To restore is to bring it back to who really owns it, bring it back to its natural state, where it was at the first time, bring it back into its natural condition. Your inheritance was yours. Your natural estate is to be a child of God, right? And Satan, we got born this way we are. We had to be born again, and Satan has all this stuff against us because we're in this old nasty nature. In order to do this, we have a right to enforce, if there's a law, to enforce this rightful condition of restoration. If somebody stole property, they're holding that property captive, you can take the law and go to this person. The law forces this person to restore the property back to its natural order, owner, into its first estate. Enforcement. That's violence. If I drive home after church today, I get home and I recognize someone's broken into my house and the door is kicked in and the window is broke and there's whatever and I can tell they're still in there. I'm not going in that house. No, I'm calling the law. Because they might be bigger than me. They might have a gun. I'm saying, hey, law, come in and enforce my rights. This is my property. Get them out. We have the privilege to enforce upon Satan, the privilege, enforce upon Satan the claims that God gives us, for God has a law. We have a right to force these claims upon Satan and say, give it back. When's the last time you did that? When's the last time you forced Satan to give it back? What you bind on earth, I'll bind in heaven. What you loose on earth, I'll loose in heaven. So let's play this out. I'm going to do another 2023 rendition of this. So Joshua takes the children across the river. And he starts handing out their inheritance. He says, Phil, this is your 40 acres. Here's your house. Here's your barn. Here's your vineyard. There's your orchard. There's your wheat field. Occupy. But you got to fight for every inch. I said, praise God, I'm finally born again. I'm sealed away. I'm going in the rapture. Oh, I'm so happy. Tell everybody at church, wonderful. I've been born again. And everyone's so happy. Finally, Phil got it. And so I say, this is my house. Let me go occupy. I open the door. I step in, and there's someone sitting on my table eating the last of my fried chicken. And I recognize him. He's oppressed me since I was a kid. You name your own. I'm going to name this one Fear. He's squatting on my property. And I say, devil, get out of here. I'm born again. You can't be here. He looks up at me. He says, goes back to eating chicken. No, you have to go. I said, go. Goes back to eating chicken. So what do? What I always used to do. I physically attack him and try to throw him out. I try to use my own strength, my own mental ability, my own power, wrestling in flesh and blood. And I'm not afraid of you anymore. You know what he does? He picks me up and throws me across the kitchen. You can't do that to me. I'm a child of God. He picks me and throws me across the kitchen, breaks some dishes, breaks the cabinet. I said, you can't do that. He picks me up and throws me out the door, locks the door in my face. I'm laying in the yard looking at my own house. I got kicked out of my own house. This is my inheritance, and here I am still being whooped on by devils. See, when you're born again, that's when it starts. That's the beginning. And so I come to church, and I'm an infant little child, newly born child. And I said, Brother Jerry, I don't know what, I thought I was born again, and now I don't know anymore because I thought I could just overcome, and I just like, overcome, Brother Jerry, I don't know what to do. Please give me a pacifier and change my diaper. Isn't that the attitude we take sometimes? Little self-pity. I've been so victimized. And Brother Jerry's dealt with this many times. He says, you need to pray. You need to believe what God told you. You need to get the enforcer on the scene. You have a right to make that demon leave. He's a squatter on your property. It's like, okay, I just need to pray. Yes, pray. Get a hold of God. So I call up. I go 911. And someone on the other phone side said, this is Heaven Enforcement Agency. How can I help you?
I'm really getting, I have a hard time. And I tried to occupy my land. I thought I was born again, but this devil kicked me out of my own house. I don't know what to do.
And I hear this response. I'm sorry, you have the wrong number. We don't take calls from entitled self-pitying little brats. I have a number for you to call, 1-800-THIS-IS-HELL. They'll listen to you all day. God ain't listening to that whiny cry. That's the whiny call. We're supposed to cry. You know, why cry? Speak. We're supposed to go out. We're supposed to cry out to God, but we're supposed to take His word. And so I call back. I say, okay, I'm sorry. Listen up. My name's Phil. I'm recently born again, but I got squatters on my property. Or maybe you've been born again for 30 years. You still got squatters on your property. He said, I need the enforcer to come because I have a right. According to your word, I have a right to get that thing out of my property. I have an inheritance. And about that time, poof, right beside me is the enforcer. He said, I've been here all the time. Well, where were you? I was inside. I was in your heart. I was birthed in there. This is where I live. I live in here. I was in there when you were getting kicked around, trying on your own ability to defeat Satan. And you're trying, but all you had to do was call me on the scene by faith, not pity. Don't sit there. Well, I had such a hard time. Get over your bad self. It's not the way a soldier acts. He said, are you ready to go to enforce your eyes? Are you ready to go get this squad? I said, yes, sir. He says, kick the door down. It's locked. Kick it down. Okay. Bam. I did what he said. I kicked the door down. I forced the issue. Satan, you're not going to disappear. I'm coming right into your face. And I walk right into there. And Satan, he's eating the last of my prime rib. And he looks up. He says, oh, you're back. And then he sees the Holy Spirit right there with me. He says, oh. Reinforcements. I'm thinking, ha, watch this, devil. I'm standing there looking at him. Nothing happens. I'm waiting for the Holy Spirit to kick him out, right? Nothing's happening. So I look at the Holy Spirit. He's looking at me. He's looking at me. I say, aren't you going to get rid of him? He says, I can only move according to your confession. You have to speak it. I'm the high priest of your confession. What you say, I'm limited by what you say, and you have to speak into faith. You can't bluff. If it's a bluff, it's not going to happen. But when you in faith will speak the word, then I will back up what you're saying. But you had to have the courage and the violence to go ahead and speak it yourself. That's where so many people, we come up short. We come up defeated because we want God just come and do all this. He said, look, you have to overcome. It's not him doing it. You're the overcomer, but he can only do this as you say it and you believe it. And if you believe it, you will speak it. You have to speak the word, friends. It's you that you have thus saith the Lord, or you keep still. And let me tell you something, friends. You have thus saith the Lord if you are the bride of Christ, but he's waiting for you to confess his word so that he can act on it.
How many people are sick? How many people are oppressed? How many people are discouraged? How many people have all kinds of stuff going on? Because they pray and pray and pray and pray, but they never confess the word. They just want God to come and just overcome for them. The overcoming is you taking God at his word and speaking to that squatter and say, in the name of Jesus Christ, you have to leave. And you stand and you get in his face and you don't blink and you don't flinch and you stand there. And if it takes 20 years, you don't move at all because you know that God told you. What happens is so many times we try to bluff the devil. Well, the prophet said this, or the word, the scripture says this, devil, the scripture said this. He said, I know what the scripture said. Brother Bram said, Satan knew the Bible as well as Jesus did, but it wouldn't work for him. But when it's revealed to you, and you can stand right in that devil's face and say, you've got to go. I am no longer a subject to fear. I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God, and you have got to go. And you look him in the eye, and he knows you're not bluffing. And he takes a step back, and you take a step forward. And you might have to walk him inch by inch out of your house, but he's leaving. But what do? We get discouraged when it don't happen right away because we're human beings. In the name of Jesus Christ, you have to go. You're no longer oppressing me. And then 2 days later, you still feel that presence, that squatter still there. Say, well, I guess I didn't get it. You're right. Because that seed of faith has been ripped out because of your doubt and your unbelief. And the next time, it's going to be that much harder. God made us in his image to be like him. The church is given the rightful legal rights by the Bible to take the Holy Spirit and enforce this on him. Violently hold on to that promise no matter what. All right, let me try to finish here. Come with determination. Come that you're going to stay there till it's over. Stay there until God answers and vindicates. A man that believes in God can see the power, the presence of God, feel the presence of God, sense the presence of God, know he's here. He's here to answer everything that he may promise for this day. Then cry till you get it. Hold on to him. Don't leave. If you have to stay day and night. God don't want his children listening to intellectual speeches. He wants them to cry to it until the promise is vindicated. Don't take some intellectual thought. Well, the prophet said this. The Bible says this. That's not going to get it, friends. Stop trying to figure it out. Take God at his word and say, God, you're going to do this because you promised to. I don't care. I don't. No matter how it happens, how long it happens, but you promised me. My, that's all he wants. You have to obey. Oh, my. I got to take a couple more. They have to obey what you say. Can you imagine? Listen, what was Lucifer's problem? He had a spirit of rebellion because he did not want to obey Michael. He did not want to obey God's word. And that spirit of rebellion, that rebellion is the very core of who Lucifer is. It's a rebel. That's why you see so much going on now. All this perversion. It's a spirit of rebellion against nature, against God, against everything that's right and holy. And they have so turned things around that people no longer have any idea what is right and what's wrong. It's rebellion. And when you see a person with a rebellious spirit, the worst, the last thing they want to do is obey. And those demons have got to obey what you say when you speak it in the name of the Lord. Do you know that? You imagine how that tears them up? I preached times when I saw a rebellious spirit on people, and it's tearing them up, sitting in their seats. That's just the way it is. We all are born with that rebellious spirit. But when you have something inside of you that says, in spite of that, I've got to have something that's real, and then it comes and it overcomes that rebellion because you were always born for that. Obedience is better than sacrifice. So what people want to do instead of obeying that, they say, well, I'll just be a good message believer. They just become a Cain, and they just sit there, and they become a good message believer following their religion, but they're not about to obey what God tells them to do. I'm not talking about just dressing right and acting right. I'm talking about when God gives you a specific word, a specific demon for you to overcome, a specific person he wants you to love, a specific thing like that, and you say, I just can't bring myself to do that, but I'll just be a good message believer. That's a sacrifice over obedience, and that's a sin of witchcraft.
Got a lot of witches sitting in message-believing churches. Message churches. Witches. God had a perfect Eden. Satan came in and violated that Eden with a spirit of rebellion. Eve didn't think she was being rebellious.
Did you lose?
Was it just your thought anyways? Well, I want to be healed, so I'm going to confess it. Friends, recognize that's hope, and that hope is good. But when it's revealed to you, then there's no question about it. What if it could? Could it happen? What if God doesn't do it? Why don't you stop asking stupid questions? Some people say there's no such thing as a dumb question. Oh, yes, there are. You know what a dumb question is? I wonder if God's going to keep his word. That's just beyond dumb. That's retarded and insane and criminally stupid. God will always, the question isn't if he will, it's if you will keep believing. As long as that exists, this questioning could have happened. The church can never stand upright. And when every talk of fear is vanished and the Holy Spirit is completely in control of the church, then all fears are gone. The church has the power. They have everything that heaven owns behind them. They're ambassadors of the throne. And Ambassador Christ has the authority. Everything that Christ owns belongs to that ambassador. Do you hear what he said? Everything Christ owns belongs to you. Why don't we see more of it? Because we have too much fear keeping us from believing God's word. We look at too many experiences. We see this person fail and that person fail. And that didn't go the way we thought. And we thought this was going to happen. So we kind of like hedge our best way. Well, I'm going to believe up to this far, but I'm not going to get crazy. You need to get crazy with your faith. You need to go ahead and be like a Joshua and say, son, stand still. You want to go in the rapture? It's going to take that. Don't try to do that on your own. Don't make it up. But when God moves on your spirit to believe something, confess it. Say it out loud, you cowards. Calling you cowards, friends, but when friends, look, when you don't say it, that's exactly what you're giving into, that spirit of fear. Stop it. I'm sorry I called you cowards, but stop acting like it sometimes. I hear so much around here, well, if God does this, well, if God does that, if. Come on. Look what he's already done for you. Look what he's already done. Look where you're at. He said, go ye into all the world. You're my witnesses. After the Holy Ghost has come on you. I just read a little while ago a quote where Brother Branham said at early Pentecost back in 1906, not the original, but the 1906, he said they would rent themselves. They got kicked out of all churches. They rent themselves a little shop or storefront for $2 a week. He said they go and they start having a testimony meeting. And before morning, every one of them had been locked up. When's the last time you got locked up for a testimony meeting? What's wrong, friends? I don't want to get locked up. But friends, if there's something inside of me that's not expressing Christ the way it has to be, so people just think good about me, there's something wrong. We come to church and we sit here, we sing, we worship, we listen, we go out, and nothing changes. What's wrong, friends? We're letting fear and doubt and all this stuff dominate our life. We're not holding on violently the way we need to. We should see more of God than we do now. So many things to take it out of us. He said, what is a witness? It's an ambassador. It's come and witness something. The whole power of heaven is right in your hands. Oh, why do we sit and the church is barren and we sit dormant? It's because we don't recognize these things. Oh, I didn't expect that to come that way, friends. But I got something. We're not going to end on that. I'm not going to end on that. I was running yesterday. I was meditating on this sermon to preach. God come to me right there, and he impressed on me how he wants me to end this service. And I know he's chasing. He brought it hard. He says, I want you to tell those people in Dixon, when you call this violent bride, you are talking about them. God sees you as being this bride. He sees you as fulfilling this scripture. You have pressed yourself into the kingdom of God. You have been desperate. You're still desperate. You have proven yourself. God is looking at you and saying, I have a special place in my heart for Dixon, Tennessee. Should I tell you what he said? He said, tell them that they're my end time Job. I have put them through hell. I put them through all kinds of, you know what we've been through. He said, I said to Satan, have you considered my church in Dixon? Bunch of renegades, offshoots, offscouring. And Satan said, you mean like Job? He said, like Job. He said, okay, I take it over. He's taken your kids, your grandkids. He's taken your family out of here. He's called conflict. We've gone through things in this church, a church this size should never had to go through. And the whole time he was looking at you and say, Satan, she's a violent bride. I've kept her from having what she wanted. I've taken this from her. I haven't given her this. And she's gone. She's gone in loneliness. She's gone in despair. She's gone in fear. I've let Satan almost kill her pastor. He destroyed him physically and mentally and all that kind of stuff. And yet here she sits. You can't get her to disbelieve, can you, Satan? You can't get her to disbelieve, can you? Why? Because what I've done this morning is the word has come and has told you exactly who you are. You are this bride he's looking for. You are this person who has taken hold of that word and not let yourself get talked out of it. You are the one who has listened to Satan's lie and Satan tell you not to trust and Satan tell you to do this and do that. And you've held on because there's something inside of you. You heard the voice of God and you held on to that promise. And no matter what Satan did, you sat right there and you said, why would I go back to that church? And yet you came back anyways. Why? Because nothing's going to talk you out of who you are. And Satan has tried all he can. He's tried all he can to try to get you to leave. Some of you, your whole family is left, and you're sitting here by yourself. Other people, you've lost your kids. You've lost all this. You've struggled within your family, conflict within the church. And look at all that Satan has done in the last 20-something years, even before that. And yet here you sit here like some kind of believing, violent bride. What's wrong with you? Average, normal people would have left when they could. You've been afflicted by Satan and you're still standing. You're not victims. You're not sitting here, oh, we had it so hard, Brother Phil. Oh, shut up. That's a devil. Let me tell you what, when a soldier goes through a fight, he don't come out and say, oh, I just had such a hard fight. You poor thing. He said, shut up. I'm not looking for self-pity. I'm a soldier. I was born for this. I was born to defeat devils. I was born to shake hell. I was born to destroy squatters. I was born to stand for my brother. I was born to love my brothers and sisters. I was born for the purpose. I was born to be part of this violent bride. I was born to come to church in Dixon, Tennessee. I was born to go on a rapture. This is who I am. Who are you feeling sorry for? You need to feel sorry for those devils who are just about to get annihilated. You got any pity? Use it on them. I don't want your pity. I'm a soldier. Oh my. Say, yeah, Job, this is who you are. I've allowed you to be afflicted. Satan said, can I take some of them? Yes, I allowed you to kill some of them. Whew, that's bitter. I'm allowing your family to totally walk away from the message and leave you stranded by yourself. I'm allowing this to happen. I'll allow your pastor to almost lose his mind. I'm allowing all this stuff to happen. Why? To prove who you are. Let's stand. What will 2023 bring? I don't know, but it's going to be harder than 2022. Guaranteed it. This doesn't get easier. This battle doesn't get easier. But let's remember what happened to Job. When God, when he went through that trial and he understood finally what it was all about and God restored him, Job was better than he ever was before. Job was stronger than ever before. He had more faith than ever before. He saw God's plan in his life like he had never been before. And Satan couldn't shake him any more then than he could before. Let me tell you something. This church is stronger than ever. Your pastor has regained his strength. We are going to go forward. And I don't know what's going to happen this year, but I can guarantee you we'll be stronger at the end of this year than we are now.
That's the word. That's thus saith the Lord. And it's going to be rough. It's going to shake us up. We're going to deal with things we never dealt with before. And it's going to be harder battles than ever. And you're going to look at yourself. You're going to see more Christ in you than ever before. Because you continue to fight. You continue to press on. You continue to hold on to that white knuckle grip unto the promise. And say, this is what God has done for me. You believe that? If you don't, you will. Because God will get all that unbelief out of you. He will use those trials, those battles. He's going to use your spouse. He's going to use whatever it takes to get all that unbelief out of you. Until you have nothing but that pure, unadulterated faith take you in a rapture. I believe it, friends. And the things that I said, you look back at it, you can look at it in your own life. You can see the things you've gone through. Look at the trials you had. Look where you were ready to give up. Look where you were ready to quit. Look at how weak you felt. Look why you felt so downtrodden and God didn't love you. God was a million miles away. And how did you get to this place? You were sitting on the ash heap. You might still be there. But God didn't keep Job on the ash heap beyond what he could bear. He finally got him off when Job was ready. I believe we're going to see this church blossom. I believe we're going to see the power of God. I'm not talking about all kinds of like, I don't know. I'm not putting any limit on what God wants to do is fine. But we're going to see God moving us like we've never seen before. If it's not, friends, we're not bride. But we are. We are. Isn't that good? Lord Jesus, we're so grateful, Father, that you would come this morning and identify who we are. This wasn't a message of condemnation. It was a message of identification. You told us who we are. You showed us what you have done and where you are taking us, where we came from, where we're going. Lord Jesus, we're so grateful that you would come this morning, Lord Jesus, and just break down all these walls of doubt and fear and just break down and break through to us, Lord, and speak to us. I pray that each person heard you speak to them just secretly in the heart. Each person heard your voice speaking, not just what Phil is saying, but what Jesus Christ himself said to each one individually. Father, for each person here who's not where they need to be, I don't know who they are. Only you know that. Lord, but whoever it is, Lord, I pray that you would just speak to them, get into a place of desperation where they're willing to surrender completely. They're willing to cross that brook and go wrestle it out once and for all with you, Lord, and then walk as an Israel, walk with it as a prince with God, a princess with God, and walk, Lord Jesus, as a different person than they are now. If everyone here is born again, then praise God, Lord Jesus, and just continue to lead us in that place of desperation. Get us, Father, where we can have more of you. But Father, if there's whatever we have need of, Lord, just move upon us. I pray to heal the sick, to encourage the discouraged, Lord, and to let us each one have a greater walk with you, a greater relationship, so we know you in the power of your and demonstration of your Holy Spirit. Father, won't you come now this morning and just move upon each one, Lord. Touch our hearts, Lord. Touch our bodies. Touch our minds. Lord, just let yourself be real to us, Lord Jesus. Not just a touch, Lord Jesus, but a relationship, something more. Speak to us, Lord. We love your touch. We love to worship. But Father, when we hear your voice speak, it means the world to us because we know we're face to face with you and we're hearing you. We're in your presence when we hear your voice speak. Lord, speak to us. Speak to us, Lord Jesus. Don't let a person leave here without hearing your voice and walking in the faith that you have revealed to them. Move upon us, Lord. Satan's coming right now to oppress us. Satan's coming right now to keep people from believing, to keep people from, hurry up and stop the service so I can go to lunch. The Lord Jesus, you are greater than that. And I withstand that in the name of Jesus Christ. I withstand every oppressing spirit, every doubtful spirit, every spirit of fear. I withstand you in the name of Jesus Christ. You have to leave because Jesus Christ wants to touch his bride. He wants to speak to his bride this morning. And he's going to be able to do that as we worship and we water this world. Lord Jesus, come and have your way. I ask this in your name. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. Jesus is here. He's here. But that's not enough. You got to hold on to him. This is when the battle is. Now is when you hold on. Now is when you take a hold and say, God, I know you're here. I know you spoke to me, but now I need you to confirm it. Now I need you to hold on. Now I need you to show yourself a mighty God in my life. Can you hold on? Can you accept him like that? Can you believe for that? Don't let just be a nice anointing we had, just a nice service, and walk out of here not different than you are now. Walk out of here closer to God. Walk out of here, Israel. Walk out of here proclaiming, knowing who you are, and you might have been born again years ago, but yet you're still not walking as Israel. You're still not walking as a fearless child of God. Why? Because you're still entertaining too many doubts and fears and oppressing spirits. Get rid of that stuff. Take God at his word, and it's not you. Well, I'm just going to do that. Get the right attitude. God will bring it to pass in your life. Oh, my. Stop being a slave to fear. Can we sing that song, I'm no longer a slave to fear? Come on, sing, Brother Nate. Don't be a slave to fear, friends. That's God can't use a coward. He can't do it. He has to have you, friend. He has to have you walking in faith. And in spite of all the evidence, that hurricane might be blowing right down your driveway, but you stand in the face of that and said, I am no longer a slave to fear. There's no if in my relationship with God. There's no maybe. There's no what if. Is he gonna? It is, thus saith the Lord. Do you recognize what you're called to? Do you recognize who you are? Oh my, sing for us, Brother Nate.